Perhaps you're here this morning because you received a special invitation to be here. Perhaps you're here because you knew that today was a special day that we were going to be talking about a special subject. I want to begin this morning by asking you, what would you say is the secret to happiness? If you just got to figure out your own answer to this question, what's the secret to happiness? Now, this morning we're going to be talking about the secret of happiness in our homes. So let me ask it this way. What's the secret to happiness in your home? Not somebody else's home. What's the secret to happiness in your home? Perhaps it's freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. Maybe that's the secret to happiness in your home. Maybe you could be having a rough day, but if there's freshly baked chocolate chip cookies, all of a sudden, is that you? Does your day turn around? Is that the secret to happiness in your home? Well, maybe that's not it for you. Maybe it's just sitting down and watching Netflix. I mean, maybe it's the $11 a month that you're paying to have all of this TV that you can sit. Maybe that's the secret to your happiness. Maybe for others, it's some sort of game console. I didn't choose to put Atari or Super Nintendo or others up here, but I know some of you are still playing those. But maybe that's your secret. What's your secret? In your house, not your neighbors, in your home, maybe only your family knows it. What's the secret to happiness in your home? Maybe it's just taking the remote control and putting your husband's hand. Say, here you go, honey. It's all, say, that's maybe that's the scary thing in your, but you... Maybe it's holding the remote control, it's power that you have, that you wield in your hand to choose what you're going to watch so that you can make your wife happy. What is it that brings happiness into your home? Maybe it's just going and chilling in the backyard. Those of you that have a swimming pool, over the next few weeks, it's going to get really chilly. Maybe it's just going back there and relaxing. Maybe that's what you need. Or when your neighbor's not home, going and sitting around their pool if you don't have a pool at home. And it's the happiness that brings, just being able to relax together. Maybe it's tickets to Disney World, the happiest place on earth. Maybe this is the secret to happiness in your home. What is it that brings happiness, especially to your family? Maybe it's getting sleep. For those of you that have newborn babies, maybe you don't have a whole lot of happiness in your home right now if it's sleep that brings happiness into your home. What's the secret to happiness in your family? Maybe it is some sort of caffeinated beverage that is purchased on the way to church on Sunday mornings so that you can be happy among this family to make all of the family happy. What is the secret to your happiness? As you begin to try to figure that out for your family, as you begin to try to figure that out for your home, this morning we are going to broaden that and not just talk about the secret to happiness in your home, but we want to talk about the secret to happiness in every home. You know, for some homes, coffee's not going to make it a happy place. Not that coffee's a bad thing, but do you know there's some homes in this church where people don't drink coffee? Can you believe that? What's wrong with those people that they don't drink that stuff? Well, I don't drink it. My wife doesn't drink it. We had to have children to bring the children into the home for them to start drinking coffee, for us to actually have coffee consumed in the house. But what is it that brings happiness to every home? Do you know Jesus gave the answer to that question? Do you know Jesus gave us the formula for happiness, not just in your home, but in your neighbor's home and in every home on this globe? Jesus told us how we can have happiness in our homes. I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And I want us to use Matthew chapter 5 in what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And when you pick up your New Testament, you start reading your New Testament, here's the first sermon that you come to recorded from the mouth of Jesus. And at the beginning of this great sermon where Jesus is going to lay out the heart of Christianity, you notice what the first word is in verse 3, and the first word in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, first word in verse 7, First word in verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. You notice it's the same word over and over? It's the word blessed or blessed. The word there means what we're talking about this morning. The word there means happy. And you can read through this, you can read through this section of verses, and you can take the word happy and insert the word happy here, and you can have just as much of an understanding of what these verses are about with this as the background. That when Jesus is talking about happiness in Matthew chapter 5, He's not talking about worldly happiness. He's not talking about tickets to Disney World. Sorry. He's not talking about how much coffee you drank this morning. Sorry, that's not the happiness. Jesus is talking about happiness that's not based upon any circumstances at all. Jesus is talking about a happiness that you can have regardless of how much coffee your husband or your wife had this morning. Jesus is talking about a happiness that doesn't matter what's happening on the news. Jesus is talking about a happiness regardless of what's happening at work or what's happening at school. Jesus is describing a happiness here that can exist in every home, no matter who is living there and no matter what's going on. Would you be interested in that, having that kind of happiness? A happiness that's not based upon any kind of challenges, that's not altered by any kind of difficulties in life, but is a happiness that everyone can have. Would you like that? Would you be interested in that? That's what Jesus, when Jesus says, blessed are these kind of people, He's describing for us the secret to happiness in our homes. What does it require? What does this happiness require? Look in verse 3. Happiness in verse 3 requires humbleness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit here is not talking about how much money you have in the bank. Poor in spirit is talking about your heart. It's talking about humility. It's talking about humbleness. You know what doesn't bring happiness into a home? What doesn't bring happiness into a home is somebody who's arrogant. Somebody who's conceited. Somebody who is full of himself. Guess what that does not bring into your home? It does not bring happiness. You know what does bring happiness? Someone who humbles himself before God. When someone in your home, when maybe that someone is you, humbles himself before God and puts God first in his life, guess what Jesus says? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who humble themselves before God and put him first. But not just before God. Blessed are those who humble themselves before others. Blessed are those who put others above themselves. You want the secret to happiness in your home? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. There's the secret to happiness. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. There's the secret to happiness in your home. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 11, he who would be greatest among you will be the servant. Let him serve. If happiness in your home was 100% dependent on you, and was 100% dependent on your humbleness, how happy would your home be today? You want your home to be happy? Here's the first key that Jesus gives. We need people in our homes who are humble, who put God first, and who put others above ourselves. And if you'll go home today and put everybody else in your home, put your husband, put your wife, put your children, put your parents, put others in your home, you put them above yourself, and you seek their needs above your own, it will bring a true happiness, not a worldly happiness. It will bring a heavenly, true happiness to your home that God wants to be there. What's the secret to happiness? Look in verse 4. Happiness requires humbleness. But in verse 4, happiness requires seriousness. Well, what's that all about? What does verse 4 say? Blessed are those who mourn. That's an interesting thing for Jesus to say. Blessed are those who mourn. Sometimes we think about this verse and we strictly think about this verse in relationship to mourning some physical loss on this earth or mourning the loss of some loved one on this earth. And no doubt Jesus does say that those who mourn shall be comforted, those who physically mourn a loss on this earth. But Jesus is not talking in a physical sense here. He's not talking in an earthly sense here. He's talking in a spiritual sense here. How can we mourn spiritually? Jesus is talking about those who take sin seriously. You know what's worse than a physical loss today? A spiritual loss. You know what's worse than somebody passing away and somebody dying physically today? Someone dying spiritually today. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn over that, who take sin seriously. You know what doesn't bring happiness into our homes? What doesn't bring happiness into our homes is when we minimize sin. When we make light of sin, or if we make jokes about sin, that might be real funny. That might bring some lightheartedness into our homes, but that's not going to bring true happiness. If we look at sin and we say, "Oh, that's not that big of a deal." Oh well, you know, we're kind of living in a relationship that's not right in the eyes of God, but that's not a really big deal. Jesus says, if we want happiness in our homes, we need to take sin seriously. Sin's not something that is insignificant. Sin is not, you know, I'm sorry to say, but some of your teams lost yesterday. I mean, that was just sad. Some of your teams won yesterday. And so you're happy today. Guess what might happen next week? You might have the other. You might be on the other. And so, man, sometimes our emotions ride the roller coaster of our favorite team. So we're up. Oh, we won. Oh, we lost and we're down. Boy, we take it pretty seriously. There's some people in this church, if their team is playing on Saturday, don't call them. Don't text them. Do not go by to visit them in their home if their team is playing on Saturday. Just avoid them altogether. Let the game get over. Figure out whether they are team won or lost, and then you can determine if you want to call them then or not, or if you just want to wait a week and give them time to mourn their loss. We take that seriously. What about sin? Here's something that has an eternal significance. Do we take it seriously? In James chapter 4, verse 9, James says, lament, mourn, and weep. Oh, that sounds kind of miserable. Why would we do that? Because of sin. We need to take sin so seriously that our hearts break over it and we humble. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Happiness can come into our homes if we'll take sin for what it is. Happiness can come into our homes if we will learn to see sin the way God sees sin. If we will learn to treat sin the way God treats sin. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18. We're going to come right back to Matthew chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 18, over in the Old Testament. It's a whole chapter that deals, I mean, Ezekiel's a whole book that deals with the sin of God's people and what they were doing. But here's a chapter that just focuses in on the consequences of man's sin. But the last three verses of Ezekiel 18, if we would have this mindset towards sin, how much better would our homes be? Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning of verse 30. Therefore, God says, I will judge you, O house of Israel. I will judge you, everyone, according to his ways, says the Lord. Here's what God calls upon us to do. Repent from your sin. And turn from... Are you all with me in this verse? Look at the verse in verse 30 where he says, repent and turn from... What's the little word you have after the word from? All. God says, I'm calling upon you to repent and return and turn from all your transgressions, your sins, so that iniquity, sin will not be your ruin. God says, don't let sin ruin you. Don't let sin ruin your life. Let it ruin your family's life. Repent from it, turn from it, and turn from all of it. Look in verse 31. Cast away from you, what's the word you have after the word you? All. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Last verse. God says, here's God's view of sin. I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. God says, I don't want you to die in sin. I don't have any pleasure in that at all. Turn from it. Repent from it. Cast it away and get away from it. If we would have the same view of sin that God has of sin, how much better would our homes be? Well, we don't just say, oh, it's okay, it's no big deal. We say, we don't want this inside the doors of our home. This separates us from God. Let's get ourselves right with God. If the happiness of your home relied completely on you and how seriously you took sin, how happy would your home be today? Go back to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 5, we find out that happiness in our homes requires gentleness. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek. Or your Bible might have, blessed are the gentle. And sometimes we misunderstand what this word is all about. But this word was used about a horse, a 2,000-pound horse, a horse that's just a big old muscle that has all these muscles, but a wild horse that's brought under control and can be tamed and can be used for various works. That's the word that's used here. Guess what doesn't bring happiness to our homes? When there's somebody in our homes that can't control their temper. When there's somebody in our homes that's like that wild horse that is out of control, that has a wild temper that is not tamed, that doesn't bring happiness to our homes. But Jesus says, here's the secret to happiness in your home. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who have learned to tame themselves, to bring themselves under control. How do they do that? Step number one, I submit myself to the control of God. I say to God, James 4 and verse 7, I submit yourselves therefore to God. I take myself and I yield myself over to God. I say, God, I'm having a hard time learning to control my anger. I'm having a hard time learning to control my temper. And I take myself and I open my heart up to God and I plead with God and say, God, I need you. I yield myself to you. I submit myself to you. Help me, Lord, to take all of this anger. Help me to take my temper. Help me to take all of these energies that I have and help me to control them. Will that bring happiness to your home? That's what I need to do to God. I need to submit myself to God. And then I need to learn with God's help to tame and to control my spirit, my energies, my passions, my tempers. I need to learn to tame them and to control, with God's help, to bring all of those things under control. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, do not let sin, that's what we were just talking about in the last point, taking that seriously. Do not let sin reign, R-E-I-G-N. Don't let sin reign, have control in your mortal bodies. I got to get rid of sin. Verse 13, I've got to put myself in the hands of God and become an instrument of God in His hands. And I need to learn in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, I need to learn to have gentleness in my life. I need to learn to be meek and under control. I need to learn to bear, the end of Ephesians 4 and verse 2 says, I need to learn to bear with those people in my home. I need to learn to be patient. When my husband or my wife says something that they know is going to get under my skin, I've got to learn to be meek. I've got to learn to be gentle. I've got to learn to be patient. When my children have driven me to the end of my rope. I need to learn that Jesus wants me to be meek, to be gentle, to be under control. Will that bring happiness into our families? We know that the opposite of that brings anything but happiness. If the happiness in your home was dependent 100% on you and your gentleness, how happy is your home today? Look in verse 6. Jesus says in verse 6 that happiness requires righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what doesn't bring happiness to our homes? What doesn't bring happiness to our homes is when we just do whatever we want to do. When we are just going to pursue our own desires and just open the flood door, say, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do and I don't care what anybody else thinks. That brings happiness to our homes, right? No, it didn't bring happiness to our homes. When all we're concerned about is fulfilling our own desires, that doesn't produce happiness. What does produce happiness? Blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Happiness comes into homes where there are individuals who are desiring above anything else to please God. That's what righteousness is desiring to do right. And if those in our homes, if people in our family, if me in my house, if my number one desire is to do what pleases God, to do what God wants me to do, is that going to help my home to be happy? You know, Jesus told John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, John, I need to be baptized in order that I might fulfill all righteousness. Jesus says, John, I've got to do what's right. He was driven to do something that would please God. Are we driven? Are we driven like Jesus was driven to please God? Is that our number one aim? You know, sometimes it's easy for that to be our number one aim here when we're among other Christians. It's easy for that to be our number one aim when we go to somebody else's house, when we go to a brother or sister in Christ's house. Now we put on our best face. We put on our best presentation possible. What about in the secretness of our own homes where it's just us? Do we really care about what God wants? Is that our number one passion? Psalm 63 and verse 1, David, the psalmist there in Psalm 63 and verse 1 says, I long for you. Think about these words in Psalm 63 verse 1. First of all, he says, I thirst for you. And then he describes this thirst. He says, I long for you, God. I long for you as one who is in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Can you imagine being in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water? How much are you longing for water? Dry and thirsty land, but there's no water. What else? You can't think of anything else but what? Water. That's what you need, and that's your number one focus is water. And David says, God, that's you and me. I can't think of anything else, God, but you. What would our homes be like if we brought that heart into our homes? What do our homes need to be happy? Our homes need us to seek after those things that would help us to have a deeper and more meaningful relationship with our God. To seek above all things to build a stronger relationship with God. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God this morning, but can you be closer to Him? Is there anything that we can do to be closer? Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4 and down through most of the chapter, really. But he looks at all the things that he had attained, all the things that he had achieved in his human body. And he looks at those things that would make him great in the eyes of man. And he says, I count these for loss. I'm happy to get rid of these. Paul, why would you get rid of your earthly attainments so that I can gain Christ? He says, above everything else, I want a relationship with my Lord and my Savior. And I would get rid of everything that I've personally done in order to have that. What would you and I get rid of in our lives that would help us to gain Christ and gain a deeper relationship? If we'll do that, what's that going to do to our homes? Are we going to be happy in our homes? If the happiness of your home was dependent 100% on you and nobody else, how happy would your home be based upon your desire for righteousness? Go and look in verse 7, where Jesus says that happiness requires forgiveness. Blessed are the, what does verse 7 say? Blessed are the merciful. You know what doesn't bring happiness to our homes? What doesn't bring happiness to our homes is when we think the worst and everybody. When we don't give the benefit of the doubt to anybody in our home, when they say something and we just automatically think the worst. We automatically put it in the worst category possible. Or if somebody forgets to do something and we automatically just think, well, that's about the 470th time that he's forgotten to do that. And we've just put it in the worst category possible. And all of a sudden, has happiness come to our homes? Well, happiness is not there. When we hang on to a grudge, boy, in families we can do that better than anywhere else, can't we? Because in families, we've got that special place in our house where we tuck that grudge away. And nobody else knows there. It's our secret compartment in the house. We just tuck that grudge away. And anytime we need it, we just go back to that secret compartment. We pull that grudge out and we just hang on to it some more and say, I got this. You did that once and I'm never going to let you forget about it. How does that help our marriages? How does that help a husband and a wife to be one when there is one of those who won't let something go? I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about unrepentant sin here. I'm talking about a family relationship where maybe in your home there's somebody who's perfect. I don't know. I don't want to pass judgment. So maybe there's somebody in your home who's perfect, okay? But in my home, sorry, I mean, I love my children, I love my wife, but we're not all perfect, and I'm guessing in your home that maybe some of you are not all perfect, right? So we sort of make mistakes. What makes marriage so hard? Well, you got a man in it, that's what makes it so hard. All right, I'll be fair. What makes marriage so hard? Well, you got a woman in it. That's what makes it so hard. And you take a man and you take a woman, you put them together, and now what do you got? You got a man and a woman living together. That's hard. Guess what we need in marriage? Forgiveness. We cannot have happiness in our homes without forgiveness. We cannot have happiness in our homes if we do not feel the pain that others have, and not just feel the pain, not just feel the anguish, not just feel the difficulty somebody's going through, but the second part of that is go and do something to help meet that need. Go and do something to help take care of that. That's what mercy is. Blessed are the merciful. That's what mercy is. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, be kind to one another. Are you kind to people in your home? Second word in that verse, tender-hearted. Are you tender-hearted with the people in your family? And when somebody in our family makes a mistake, in order for happiness to come, we need to mercifully forgive them. In Ephesians chapter 4, the third thing that Paul says is, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Have you forgiven the other people in your family the same way that God has forgiven you? Have you forgiven your husband, your wife, your children, your parents? Have you forgiven them in the same way that God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Are we trying to be more merciful? Or are we trying to be less merciful? For our homes to have happiness, it requires forgiveness. If your home was dependent 100% on you for happiness, how happy would your home be based upon forgiveness? How merciful and how forgiving are you? You go back and look at the passage. What else does Jesus say? Happiness requires holiness in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. You could put pureness here. You could put holiness here. What doesn't bring happiness into our homes is when we try to live like the world. When we try to live like the filth of the world, guess what that's not? We think that's going to make us happy. We think happiness will come if we just live like everybody else. Well, look at how happy the neighbors are. Look at how happy the people at work are. They're doing all of this. This will make us happy. We try to live like the world, and the guarantee of God is you will not be happy. You might have some temporary satisfaction. You might have some earthly happiness. You will not have a true, lasting, heavenly happiness. You try to live like everybody else. Blessed are the pure in heart. Happy, Jesus says, are the pure in heart. How can we bring happiness into our homes? By refusing to follow the standard of the world. If I refuse to allow myself and my family to be poured into the mold, if Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that if I allow my home and my family to be poured into the mold of the world, I know that happiness will not come. But if I refuse to allow my family to follow after that standard, but instead, I am determined that my family is going to pursue and follow after the standard of God and His Word. Here's the standard. Here's the standard for happiness in every home. And I don't need to be ashamed of it. If I take a stand for truth, if I take a stand for God's standard of righteousness, and I unashamedly live it, that'll bring happiness into my life. That's what Jesus just said. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those whose heart is driven by a purity that comes from God's divine Word. That can bring a happiness to our homes like we've never had. Ephesians 5 and verse 10 says we need to find out what is acceptable to God, and that's what we need to model in our homes. That's what we need to bring into our homes. We need to find that which is according to the will of God and say, that's the passion, that's the standard that we want inside of our families. And to not be ashamed if we're different. To not be ashamed if our family's different than everybody else at school. Oh, you all go to church? Yeah, we don't go to church. Oh, you all go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night? Wow, yeah, we don't go to church at all. Oh, you all go to church Wednesday night? Wow, Wednesday. Oh, man, we stay home. We watch television on Wednesday nights. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. You want happiness in your home? Jesus says it requires holiness. Morning. Is down in verse 9. And that is that happiness, Jesus says, requires peacefulness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacefulness can bring happiness into our homes. You know what doesn't bring happiness into our homes? What doesn't bring happiness into our homes is constant bitterness within our homes. Constant conflict, constant tension, constant walking around on eggshells because we're not sure how somebody else is going to react. That doesn't bring happiness to our homes at all, does it? That's not happy. When our homes are full of that, or even, not just even when our homes are full of that, even when our homes are half full, even if our homes are a quarter full of bitterness and conflict and tension, our homes aren't happy. What does bring happiness? According to the formula Jesus lays out for us, what does bring happiness? Doing all that we can to eliminate bickering inside of our homes. To do all that we can to eliminate biting and devouring one another. That's an expression that Paul used in Galatians 5 and verse 15. To the church in the churches of Galatia, that he said were biting and devouring one another. How graphic is that? There wasn't peace. They were biting and devouring one another. But can that happen in our homes too? Where we're just constantly at each other. We're constantly looking for things to tear each other down. And we're biting and devouring each other in our homes. How happy are homes in that situation? In Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4 verse 31. Paul says, let all, A-L-L, underscored in your Bible. Let all bitterness, not some, not the big bitterness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. You know what clamor is? In this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Clamor is loud shouting, loud arguing. You don't have that in your home, do you? God says, let all of that be put away from you. Why? Because we want a happy home. Because we want our home to be at peace. But Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the peace wishers. Blessed are the peace wanters. He doesn't say, blessed are the peace keepers. He says, blessed are the peace makers. We want happiness in our homes. We need to discontinue. We need to try to eliminate all bitterness and bickering and biting and devouring. And what do we need to do? We need to do what Paul says in Romans 14, verse 19, pursue peace. That word pursue there means we hunt it down. Got friends been posting online for the last week that hunting season was starting. They couldn't wait for a hunting season to start. That's what Romans 14 verse 9, pursue peace, hunt it down, chase it down. You don't just say, well, peace would be nice to have in our home. No, you chase it, you hunt it. You say, we've got to have peace in our homes. The rest of the verse says, for the building of each other up. Instead of tearing each other down in our homes, we need to build each other up in our homes by pursuing the things that make for peace. If the happiness in your home was 100% dependent on you and your peacefulness, how peaceful, how happy is your home? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. How much better would our homes be to have soft answers rather than harsh answers? Here's Jesus' formula for true happiness, not worldly happiness, not momentary happiness, for lasting true happiness in our homes. Here's Jesus' formula for happiness. What is there on this list that you need to take today back into your home and to say, if happiness is dependent upon me, I'm going to work on this for our home to be happy. May God help us not to look at the world for our standard, to not turn on the television to figure out how to have a happy home, but to look at what Jesus says. The very first sermon we have in the New Testament, where He said, here's how you can have a happy life, and translated, here's how you can have a happy home. Are you a part of God's home? Are you a part of God's family? Are you a Christian this morning with the promise of obtaining God's eternal home in heaven? You think that's going to be a happy place? Can you imagine being in heaven? How much happiness is there going to be in heaven? And is that the place that you know 100% that's where you're headed? Do you know that that is the promise that awaits you? You can only know that for sure if you have followed God's plan. And God's plan is very simple. We've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. You got to believe that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day. And now He's sitting at the right hand of God. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe, that's why the Bible's written. That's why we have the New Testament, to teach us those things so that we can have the faith in our heart. That faith that's the foundation of salvation. We're not saved just by faith alone, but it's the foundation upon which everything else builds. Upon which we make a decision to repent, to turn away from sin, to say, I want to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. Upon which, when we've made that decision, we're willing to confess the faith that we have in Jesus and to do just as they did in the New Testament and open up our mouths that says, here's what I believe. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And to do just as they did in the New Testament, just as every person did in the New Testament in order to become a Christian, to be baptized, to be immersed into Christ, to allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin that you ever committed. That only happens when somebody believes and repents and is baptized for the remission of their sins. Have you ever done that? This very day you can have your sins taken away in the very way that the Bible says to do it. This very day you can be added to His church. You can become a part of His family. You can have your name registered in your eternal home of heaven. And then He calls upon us to live faithfully, to serve Him faithfully until the day that we die. Do you know for certain this morning that heaven is your eternal home? If you don't know that for certain, then we encourage you to come right now as together we stand and sing.